You're listening to WGXC Acra, Hudson, Catskill.
This is Mitch McConnell when I'm up in the Catskills to go hunt bear and visit my friends in the Greene County Legislature. I always tune into WGXC. I love that weird show, the Nothing Is Real Radio Hour, but it's not on very often. What a bunch of crazy Yankees up there. Where is that station again? Oh, now, remember, it's at 90.7 FM on the dial in my Lexus. I wish we had something like that in Kentucky. Don't forget to vote, y'all.
Here's a PSA from Columbia County Sanctuary Movement about what to do if you encounter ICE. In our community, knowledge is power, so let's talk about your rights. You don't have to open the door, and you have the right to stay silent. Not sign anything, and in New York, you can record an interaction with law enforcement. If an agent comes with a warrant, it must be signed by a judge to be valid. In public, make sure to stay calm, don't run, and never lie or show false documents. If you're detained, you don't have to sign anything without a lawyer. ICE can use your words against you. So stay silent and ask for legal help. To stay informed, visit our social media account at CCSMNY, and if you are interested in learning more about your rights, call Columbia County Sanctuary Movement at 518-303-3848, Monday through Thursday, 9 to 5 p.m. And if you're approached by ICE agents or see them in the community, call CCSM's Raptor Response Line at 518-291-9386.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Gwen of Brooklyn, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You, too, can become a monthly supporter by going to WGXC.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
My name is James Graylian, and you are listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 FM, the best kind of radio.
WGXC welcomes audio responses and feedback from listeners. Anyone can call and leave a message, and we'll play it on the air. Call 518-622-2598 and leave up to a 3-minute message for airplay. That number again is 518-622-2598.
La despensa de alimentos de Catskill está localizada en la parroquia de la Iglesia de St. Luke en Catskill, en la calle William, número 50. La despensa está abierta todos los viernes de la 1 hasta las 4 de la tarde. La comida sana es un derecho. Para más información, bienvenidos a todos a venir, llamar por teléfono a 551-299-2456, mirar la página web catskillfoodpantry.org o conectar con nosotros en Facebook en Catskill Food Pantry.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Celeste of New York, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You, too, can become a monthly supporter by going to WGXC.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
I'm trying to get the people saying frequency. Got some frequencies.
Yeah.
Thank you.
en radio.
You're listening to Waveforms WGXC 90.7 FM Acra Catskill Radio for Open Ears, and my name is Mayuko. And pardon a little bit of a technical glitch. I burst it into the archive from last month for some reason. But if you were curious about that track, you got to hear a tiny bit. That was called Pelican, and it was by an artist named Stimming. If you're curious, you can look it up. But anyhow, this program is Bequency, Meet Bird People in the Hudson Valley. And Bequency invites the local community to be inspired by the joy, beauty, and wisdom bird enthusiasts find in the nature of our neighborhoods. Every episode features an interview with local bird people, plus a freeform mix of sounds made by birds and humans inspired by birds. And right before my mic break, this very mic break, the track we heard, the track that I meant to start my today's show with, was a track from an album titled Canada, Inuit Games and Songs from... that's a collection of recordings from the 70s. And the track we heard was Imitation of the Cries of Geese by... The first part was Women in Baffinland, and it was followed by Katajait with Geese Cries by People in the Hudson Bay. And the word Katajait, according to the note here, it's I think it's a game that involves two women standing face-to-face producing guttural, that's what it says here, guttural animal-like repetitions until someone runs out of breath and concedes in laughter. So that's why they were, I think, mimicking the geese. And then, you know, people were laughing because it's kind of a funny thing to do, I guess. And I thought of playing some recordings of bird imitations by people today because I just participated in the Owl Prowl, which is an evening bird walk to observe owls in their natural habitat. And we were guided by members of the Hoffman Bird Club in Berkshire who imitated owls throughout the walk, just like the women in the recording. I mean, instead they were mimicking geese. But anyhow, the Hoffman Bird Club leaders were imitating owls throughout the walk and trying to get the owls to respond so we get to hear them. And we're going to hear many fun stories today from about that walk from one of those people who led the owl prowl. Frequency welcomes Rennie Wendell, a longtime member and former president of the Hoffman Bird Club and a land steward for the Nature Conservancy in Western Massachusetts. In this interview, he shares some of the highlights from the 16th Berkshire Biodiversity Day, which took place at Greylock Glen Outdoor Center in Adams, Massachusetts this month. Berkshire Biodiversity Day, also known as Berkshire BioBlitz, it's a community event organized by Berkshire Environmental Action Team, they usually call BEAT. And this event invites nature lovers of all ages to join scientists, naturalists, and environmental educators in identifying as many species as possible, including plants, animals, fungi, and more, over the course of 24 hours. So Rennie and his fellow Hoffman Bird Club members led the evening, the owl prowl, and also the daytime bird walk, which were part of this Berkshire Biodiversity Day. And so Rennie will explain how Berkshire Biodiversity Day and the Hoffman Bird Club's activities help participants of any skill level to notice and appreciate biodiversity and to foster curiosity, a deeper understanding that will nurture a future generation of stewards. So I hope you stay tuned. It's a really fun interview, actually. So I hope you stick around and enjoy today's show with me. Thank you for tuning in. This is Frequency on WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you for taking time to speak with me today.
Yeah, no worries.
Could you introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Rennie Wendell. I work for the Nature Conservancy out here in Western Massachusetts, where I take care of 8,000 acres throughout, you know, most of Western Mass, everything from Gill down to Sheffield. Lived here all my life, except for a brief stint away as a young man in my 20s out in Florida and Arizona. Yeah, graduated from BCC, Berkshire Community College, and MCLA, Massachusetts College of Liberal Arts. The son of a trapper, taxidermist, entomologist, hunter, fisherman. Never really had a choice in life. I was always, I guess, destined to be a naturalist. So you joined the Hoffman Bird Club when I was in college at BCC. It was an ornithology department. Richard Farron, he taught that. He's recently released a book on the birds of Rhode Island. He made us join the Hoffman Bird Club, so been a member ever since.
You have already stepped down from the president, but you have been president until
recently. The Bird Club?
Yeah, of the Bird Club.
I was the pandemic president, so I was. little fact is, I'm the only president of the Hoffman Bird Club that never attended an in-person meeting.
Oh,
all okay. Mine were over Zoom.
Okay.
Pretty funny. But yeah, been doing programmings for, you know, the Hoffman Bird Club since I started there, you know.
Mm-hmm. Leading walks. Led bird walks.
Yeah, leading walks and talks. Mm-hmm. You know, hikes, looking for owls, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've noticed Hoffman Bird Club has lots of bring in some speakers from outside the club sometimes and have a lot of lectures and stuff like that, in addition to bird walks.
Yeah, we're lucky. One of our people on the executive Committee, Matt Kelly. He does an amazing job of getting really top-notch speakers to come speak to the club. Mm-hmm. You know, over pandemic, we extended it. We used to not meet in, January, February, but now we have Zoom meetings. I think the Zoom meetings actually increased our membership quite a bit.
Oh, yeah?
You know, got our name out there. Uh-huh. We're up over 350 people in the club now.
Oh, wow. So, because it really gave people options, many ways to participate in the activities.
Yeah, and I think we still do them hybrid, too, so you could tune in via Zoom, even when we do in-person meetings.
Mm-hmm. So, you think you're serving not just birders who would go interested in going out for a walk, but a lot of people, you know, want to learn about birds because they look at them in their backyard. Do you think those lectures are kind of serving those populations?
Yeah, Matt does an incredible job. I can't speak to, you know, what this guy does for our club. We have topics, everything from, hey, you know, Joe Schmo went on a birding trip to, you know, Costa Rica, and he's going to tell you about his birds, to top-notch scientists from Cornell. We had the guy, he's the foremost speaker, authority on crows. So he delved into the science of crows like nobody else knows, you know. But so everything, it runs the gambit, right? From people, if you're a beginner, there's something for you. And if you're, you know, you want the science behind the latest that's happening in the bird world, we get that as well. Mm-hmm. So we're incredibly lucky that way.
Well, let's ask you about the Berkshire Biodiversity Day.
Sure.
Which just happened September 13th to 14th, I believe, over the weekend.
24 hours, yeah.
And so would you like to first explain what it is, what this event is?
So they call it a Biodiversity Day. We used to call it a Biodiversity Blitz. This is our 16 years we've been doing it. Done it all around Berkshire County. Different state forests, Greylock. We did it up on Mount Greylock 1 year. But it's 24 hours of seeing as many species as you possibly can. And, you know, the organizers have been the Berkshire Environmental Action Team. They've been a part of this all 16 years. And you try to get experts in the field, you know, so you try to get somebody to do BERS, which is usually me or another member of the Hoffman Bird Club. Somebody puts out a moth light, people that do the plants. Tom Tining does snakes and frogs, and this year he did butterflies. So we tried to get some, we've had like moss experts, people experts on lichens come out.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's just fun. And what Berkshire Environmental Action Team has always tried to do is put an educational component to it. So try to bring out classrooms, you know, local school kids come out and can learn and stuff like that. So, and they, you know, it's free and any level is welcome. Mm-hmm. And this year they did it. I think this is the first year where they did all the submissions through iNaturalist, which I think that was the first time they had done it that way.
Mm-hmm. So it's not just for people to learn, but you're also getting records, the sightings. It's sort of a survey at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, who knows what this data is going to do? You know, you collect the data, and then 100 years from now, somebody analyzes the data and gets meaningful information. It's hard to say, you know, what can be learned, but 16 years is an insignificant amount of time.
That's
a long time to be gathering data. You know, we usually do it in September. It'd be really interesting if you go back and maybe did it 20 years later on the same date. Are you getting the same species? Has things changed with climate change?
Right.
You know, would you get different species if you did it in the springtime? You know, there's all sorts of things you could do with it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, it's a lot of fun, certainly.
And the Hoffman Bird Club's been taking the birdie part of the events, basically. And have you always been involved since the beginning of the...
Yeah, so 16 years I went, because in preparation for this, I went back and I did some looking. And I'm like, I don't think I was at that one. I think I've been to maybe three quarters of them doing the owl prowl.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I used to run a place called Bartholomew's Cobble in Sheffield. And when I was there, I did owl prowls. And that's when these biodiversity days started. And I've been doing the owl prowls ever since. So I forget if I was away a couple of times. I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. But most of the time, you
but most of the time, and but the Hoffman Bird Club's been participating. I think that we lead a bird walk every year.
Okay.
In conjunction with the Biodiversity Day.
Right. So you have the daytime birding activity, and then the owl prowl.
Yep.
Which I participated in.
Nice.
And it was quite fun.
Can be. Yeah.
Kind of
yeah,
a
yeah.
very unusual experience.
Boy, there was 50 people were there, man.
That was a very big group. I was shocked, and it's almost like too many people.
Well, it was too many people, yeah. But
it's great though.
You know, it's supposed to be fun. So I think the funnest part was when the coyotes.
Yes, that was
started calling.
That was really fun.
And we all pretended like we were a pack of coyotes. Mm. They didn't return back, but I have had coyote packs return. You know, once we start calling as a pack, they'll come a little closer. It's pretty fun.
And what was your plan if they did show up in front of us?
Nothing to be afraid of. We're 50 strong. You'd
That's
have
what
to
you
be
said,
a pretty.
But...
You'd have to pretty be a pretty gnarly pack of coyotes to attack 50 people. We could have taken them, I think.
Well, I did a few recording of this whole walk while I was there, so
nice.
I have some footages that I can play on the radio. So people would know what we're talking about, but
yeah,
it was quite funny because there were a lot of kids.
A lot of kids, yeah.
And like, it's impossible for kids to be like not like moving around or like
quiet.
Yeah, like they That's have true. To. You know, once Zach or you or Jonathan started playing the recordings or trying to mimic, you guys are pretty good at mimicking those.
Thanks.
Birds.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I don't know what owls think. I thought it was going to be the same, maybe owl songs, I don't know, but...
We got one distant one. Yeah, we got one distant one, right?
At least there was one.
Yeah, it was like way, way out in the distance, and possibly Zach thought he might have heard a saw-wet. But you can imagine if you have far fewer people. And if there's one or two or three of you, you have a lot more success.
Right.
50 people is a lot. We sounded like a herd of elephants out there walking around.
Right. There was a kid running around in the dark and he fell into a ditch. It's like, well, can't you just not fall
That's
into
funny.
A ditch? It was so hilarious to be with the kids.
I didn't know a kid fell into the ditch. That's funny.
But anyhow, and you really helped us learn what to pay attention. You know, the bird calling back would be obvious sign, but to hear the crackling in the trees and like something falling, like a little branch maybe fell or, you know, stuff like that could be the sign of them being present somewhere
could be.
Around.
That was funny though, the branch fell.
Yeah.
And then I had my eyes closed and I had my hands cupped around my ears so I could hear that distant owl.
Mm-hmm.
And then the branch fell. And I looked at Jonathan and Zach, and they said that they thought there was an owl in that tree. And I thought they had seen it fly into the tree.
Oh, really?
So that's why we spent like half an hour like calling to that tree.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out we were just calling to an empty tree.
Well, you don't know. We don't know.
Well, I don't know. I'm like, what do you mean you didn't see the owl fly in there? What are we doing here? We're just calling to this tree. So, I thought that was pretty funny.
It is pretty funny. I mean, we have to try. We can only try.
Yeah, what else are you going to do on a Saturday night? Spend it with right. 50 peoples hooting at owls.
Right.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, there was somebody who was calling back. Well, who is that? Who is that?
Oh, that was the moth guy. So the moth
was
guy,
the moth guy.
at the light. So I've got to know that guy. I forget his name. So I see him
Matthew.
Every year. It could, yeah, Matthew something, or something. Yeah, I think so.
Because I see his name on eBird all the time.
He got me too. Like I was like, oh, here, and then he called again. And I could tell it was a person.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, which isn't funny, you know. Like I'm trying to run a professional show. You don't see me making moth calls, do you?
Right. But so I know how the owl prowl part went this year. But you also led the daytime
bird walk.
Was there any memorable moments, sightings? You said you haven't got the record, the official record's not out yet.
Yeah, so the tally from all the different species we got. I went through and I did a preliminary check of the birds we've seen. So I think we have 56 bird species so far.
56, wow.
There's 100 people there throughout the day.
Right.
You know, so they're submitting their own list. So we'll see, but at least 56.
Uh-huh.
Warblers were pretty strong. You know, September is great for warbler migration.
Mm-hmm.
So Wilson's warbler, Perulas, Northern water thrush. Ben Nickley caught a northern water thrush in his mist net,
okay,
which was pretty great.
Yeah.
Nashville, Tennessee warblers. Yeah. The warblers were pretty strong. I think we got Lincoln sparrow.
Oh, wow.
Somebody said that I didn't see it, was before I got there in the evening. Somebody had an evening grosbeak.
Nice.
Which is pretty unusual. So, but I didn't get to see that bird.
Mm-hmm.
Some crazy plants. I was with Zach Adams.
Mm-hmm.
We were walking the brook, you know, midday in between, you know, after my morning walk with the owls. So the next morning after the owls, after my morning walk, we walked a brook and we got brook trout in the stream.
Mm-hmm.
And Zach found a state listed plant, a rare plant.
Oh.
So I think that might be the highlight for me, was finding mm-hmm. that plant with Zach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can't tell you what plant it is because it's a state listed species, but it's a species of special concern in Massachusetts. So it's pretty rare.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Warbler wise, compared to say last year, mm-hmm. this is more significantly bigger number or?
No, I think last year it was held at Berkshire Community College, and we got a nice warbler mm-hmm. fallout there, too. You know, if the weather's right in the springtime and it's nice and clear, sometimes mm-hmm. even a little rain over the night will help. But if you've got good, you know, movement, then, you know, a place like, you know, Greylock Glen's going to get a lot of warblers.
Mm-hmm.
BCC is the same thing. It's up against, you know, West Mountain. So those birds are traveling north and south along the mountain range. The same thing with, you know, Greylock Glen, right? They're traveling, you know, in the valley below the mountain range.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we had similar.
Similar number.
Similar number of warblers.
If you're just joining us, my guest today is Rennie Wendell, a longtime member and former president of the Hoffman Bird Club in Berkshire County and the land steward for the Nature Conservancy in Western Massachusetts. Thank you for listening. This is Bee Quincy on WGXC 90.7 FM.
So you were there pretty much the whole day.
Yeah, I do all 24 hours.
So
I go home to sleep.
Thing.
But yeah, I go to everybody's stuff, man.
Uh-huh.
It's such a rare opportunity to meet and mingle and mix with, mm-hmm. you know, experts in their field.
Mm-hmm.
When do you get to hang out with somebody that knows everything about moths?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? When there was, were you there for the woman that does the algae?
No.
She found an incredibly rich diversity of algae. Algal species in that little pond.
Uh-huh.
And she had them underneath her microscope. Uh-huh. And she was showing everybody all the different algal species. When do you get to hang out with somebody that knows everything about algae?
Yeah, that's...
So I always think of it as an amazing opportunity to learn and to be amongst fellow geeks.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of makes me happy. When you do a biodiversity day and you look at the whole of the ecosystem, you're looking at the whole area, you're there, right? So you're observing everything. You're mm-hmm. looking at beetles. You're looking at crane flies. You know, I found a cicada.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anyone else found a cicada.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, mm-hmm. And then you get an appreciation for the entirety of the ecosystem,
mm-hmm.
I think. But you're asking me, was there any special thing that really stuck in my mind?
Yeah.
I went on Tom Tining's butterfly walk. And I said, hey, Tom, I got a viceroy. So do you know what a viceroy is?
No.
You know what a monarch is, right?
Yeah.
So a monarch, viceroy, looks just like a monarch with the orange and the black, but it has two stripes in its lower wings to differentiate it.
Okay.
So it's a different species.
Okay.
And Tom's like, stay with that butterfly, Rennie. And he goes, look at it. It's stopping at individual plants in the field and then leaving. That butterfly is not nectaring. It's laying eggs. He goes, watch it. So I watched it land and landed on this little willow bush. And it laid an egg. And he goes, did you see that landed? And I said, yes, I'm looking at it. So I kept my eye on it. And then he came over with everybody, and I showed him where it laid the egg, and I found the little tiny egg at the tip of this willow leaf. Mm-hmm. And I asked if anybody had a macro camera to take a look, take a photo of it. And somebody had an amazing macro camera. Uh-huh. And there's, I hope it gets up on the website. I hope it does, but amazing photo of this viceroy egg underneath a macro lens. It's amazing.
So they lay one egg
on one leaf.
And it must be tiny.
It's
like really tiny.
Like if Tom didn't tell me to pay attention, I would have just said, oh, viceroy, well, check, you know. I wouldn't have watched it. So, so if you think about that, caterpillar has to hatch out, eat as many willow leaves as it takes to become fat enough to become a caterpillar. Then it has to pupate, right? Mm-hmm. I got to look into it, right? But willow leaves are going to lose their leaves soon, right? So that egg has to turn into a caterpillar and eat its fill. Mm-hmm. And then Tom says they drop into the leaf litter. I don't know if they pupate within the leaf litter, you know, form a chrysalis. They must, right? Because they wouldn't do it on the leaf and then the leaf drops. They must go into the leaf litter and then pupate and then come out as a new butterfly in the spring. Mm-hmm. Crazy.
Yeah, it is. And this is something I find interesting over and over again, that once you're equipped with that knowledge, then you actually get to see it. And until you know that there's such thing exists, you can easily overlook. And that was my experience with birding too. Mm. That I started birding in New York City, and there's lots of birds in there.
Yeah,
sure. More than you...
Yeah, Central Park. Absolutely.
Right, Central Park and all the parks, the cemeteries, and you get to see this biodiversity even in a very busy urban setting. But because I was not equipped to see them, I just didn't see them at all. Mm. And so I think the bio blitz events like that open to public is great, and also the bird walks and the event that Hoffman Bird Club hosts would help people to, you know, those who are not equipped with those skills yet hopefully can learn how to see things, and they can appreciate what's around them more than, you know, they are right now. So sure. Your life is more fun, basically.
Yeah, and it usually takes a spark, right? So it's, you see one bird and you want to see another bird. Mm-hmm. And pretty soon you're like, man, there's so many birds and I want to know more about birds. That's why when we're talking about kids and howling at coyotes and falling in ditches, you know, kids need to be introduced to this stuff. They need to fall in love with it. Because if we don't fall in love with nature, then we don't protect it. You don't protect what you don't love or you don't know. You don't protect what you don't know, right? So the more people that come to these events, I don't care if there's 50 people on my owl prowl. You know, we might not get as many owls, but I hope everybody had a good time, fall in love with it, get curious about nature. And the next generation of stewards comes, and they protect places like Greylock Glen, where this event was held. So that's what I like about birding. And you know this, right? You do it at any skill level. You don't have to be incredibly proficient at it. You don't have to be an expert birder. You can just go outside and watch the robin that's in your backyard. You can get a cheap pair of binoculars and try to find a, you know, common yellow throat that's in the bushes. You don't have to be the best. And it's, you know, that's what I tell people about nature. Just enjoy what's there. You don't need to know the name of it to find it interesting. I don't know the name of the most caterpillars I see. But every time I see a caterpillar, I'm like, look at this thing. This thing's amazing, right?
Yeah.
You don't need to know the name of it.
Yeah, not necessarily. But yeah, to attend the owl prowl and see what you and Zach and Jonathan would do gives you an idea that, okay, you can play. I mean, would you recommend people play recordings? Mm. You have to know
Yeah, playbacks. Hot. That's a hot topic.
Uh-huh, right, right.
You know, you don't want to play playback during breeding season, for instance. You don't want to screw birds up, you know. So this time of year, the owls have already had their babies, the young or juveniles. Sometimes they're suckers for calls, like the barred owl. You know, you don't... Playback's tough. You got to be careful with it.
Right. You need to understand the science behind it and what, what do's and don'ts. But I can easily see inspiring kids to learn how to mimic owl calls because it's kind of funny and fun thing to do. And that's the kind of thing, if you don't see people like you doing it, you don't necessarily know that you could, there's such activity exists in the first place.
True enough.
And that it could contribute to science. So I thank you for all doing this kind of activity. And so I would like you to talk a little bit more about the Hoffman Bird Club itself and how people can participate.
Sure. So Hoffman Bird Club started in the 1940s by Bartlett Hendricks. And it's he was the curator? I forget what Bart was. I think he was the curator of the Berkshire Museum. He started a club, and it was named after Ralph Hoffman. He was a naturalist from the Berkshires. And he wrote, arguably, probably first bird field guide. He wrote, like, the first one, you know. And after that, you know, Peterson and others started to refine it and make it better. But so it's named after Ralph Hoffman. Like I said, we have 350 members. We do all sorts of walks and talks, lectures, which can be viewed via Zoom. We have a website, Hoffman. So it's H-O-F-F-M-A-N-N. So two Fs, two Ns.
Okay.
Hoffman Bird Club. Any skill level is invited. Mm-hmm. You know, we do this also just social events where we have picnics and potlucks. And yeah, just crazy bunch of people that like birds.
So people can participate, people can check out your website and register, walks, or show up.
Indeed.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I think that's pretty good.
I think what I would do is I would give you one date if you want to participate, for any of the listeners out there. November 8th. November 8th is our next big event, and it's the Berkshire Natural History Conference.
Oh, right. That's right. Thank
and
you.
And that's being held at Williams College. And I'm the master of ceremonies for that event. And we get speakers and some of the most knowledgeable people in their field to talk about different aspects of nature that could be seen in the Berkshires. Mm-hmm. I don't have a list of the speakers yet, but they've always been phenomenal. Mm-hmm. So I would... you can look that up online, Berkshire Natural History Conference, and I don't think tickets are on sale yet, but it's November 8th.
Soon. Okay. Okay. Well, thank you. I should have asked you to mention some
of the worries. I got notes in front of me, Mayuka.
Great. Thank you so much.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Conversation.
So thanks again to Rennie for the wonderful interview. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. There were many things I thought really interesting in this interview, and I thought it was very encouraging when Rennie said, you don't have to be an expert birder to enjoy birding, and you can just go outside and watch whatever is right there and just enjoy it. You know, hearing that kind of stuff from experts like Rennie, I think it means a lot. You know, because you do encounter people who want to make anything a competition and a tool to basically, like, assert dominance with your knowledge, which really kills joy. We all want to learn, but we don't need unsolicited mansplaining from some random dude we meet on trails. You know, because we don't live to conquer. We live to be happy. We live to feel joy. And true mentors help you see not only birds, but see that happiness and feel that joy. And that's been my experience with lots of birders, bird experts, bird enthusiasts in the Hudson Valley and Berkshire and surrounding areas. So if you're in Berkshire County or nearby area, you are in good hands with these bird people over there. The website links to the Hoffman Bird Club, BEAT, the Berkshire Environmental Action Team website. Those website links have been posted on the Bequency show notes page on wgxc.org, so you can find out more information about their events if you're interested. And there's also a link to the information page of the Berkshire Natural History Conference, the event that Rennie was talking about in the interview that is happening on November 8th. And these links will also be posted along with the transcript on Bequency Substack website, which is at bequency.substack.com. I post monthly local bird walk lists there on that same website, so you can find a bird walk near you if you want to join us. Again, it's at bequency.substack.com. And now I'm going to play the recording I made at the Owl Prowl that was led by Rennie and Zach and Jonathan of the Hoffman Bird Club that I was briefly mentioned in the interview. There are some moments that sound like beautiful music to my ears, and there are some funny moments, and I think it conveys the mood of this walk. There was something special about being in the dark with many people and walking in the rows and then into the woods with no light. It's so dark that I couldn't see anybody's face really, and then to hear the mysterious sounds, like to be with a bunch of people and everybody tries to be quiet and just listen together. And then to hear, you know, the humans mimicking wild sounds in the dark just makes me imagine what an ancient time maybe was like. Not that I know what it was like in the ancient time, but so I hope you get to get the taste a little bit of it from this Owl Prowl recording. And I'm going to see how much time I'll have after playing this recording. I'm going to play some, maybe, wildlife imitations by some people in the world. But we'll see. I hope you'll enjoy it. Thanks for listening. This is Bequency on Waveforms, WGXC 90.7 FM.
Does anybody know what kind of sound saw-whets make?
Oh,
by the way, a saw-whet owl is our tiniest owl. A little bit bigger than your fist. They called saw-whet owls because it sounds like you're sharpening a saw blade with a whetstone.
Thank you.
13 odd retired cats.
Right, so check it out. I used to run Bartholomew's Cobble in Sheffield, and they've been there. If you walk down along the Housatonic, there's a series of fields. When we wouldn't have owls and have the group howl like coyotes, all right? And because there's always kids, like, it sounds like a real pack of coyotes. So we're going to do it, right? And what happens, check it out, though. You ready for this? They come to us. They'll come in, and then they'll start calling closer, right? And we've had them, like, one field behind us. It was a little creepy, but I think we could take them. We got 450 people. All right, so ready? On the count of three, we're going to howl like coyotes.
Everyone does their best coyote call. All right.
One, two, three.
Smoke
coyotes? Right now, let's listen to what we do. Alright, so we're going to start the bar out. Alright, the coyotes might be coming in. So hang on to your children. Alright.
Can we feed them?
Oh, yes, you can.
Alright, Zach, you want to try it?
Yay.
Zach's going to call.
Hear that little high-pitched squeaky twitter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So owls will fly in, and we'll never hear them, we'll never see them. But those type of sounds are often made by saw-whets, so what we heard. This little, like, kind of alarm-type call. It's this really high-pitched twitter. And, it could be 10 feet away from us, and we'll never see it. I had a friend tell me one time that if you hear a sound at night and you're not sure what it is, it's probably a solid owl. They make so many different sounds.
Do you think you had one?
I think it's very well.
I heard it.
And then,
I definitely heard the tree.
And then a branch, there was something fell.
All right. Play the tape, John.
You saw what?
You want me to do I could try like a wine collar.
Yeah.
хайрахын тандам ү ү ү танып билесин хайрлангар хайрахын ү ү ү тазыл дегемигдин хайрлангар хайрахын ү ү ү ү
Yürüngler. Mıntın gyoru, hücen dörtün gyoru, beyr ekkin. Hay, hay, hay. Bu kancap tese erken mıntı bol bu hücen dört. Beyr ekkin durum. Anayın bas edertte o kaşken beyri. An tutturarınız, tuttur basla olgay. Kay yürüm. Mıntım geldi ki, ama mıntım tutu aday. Nam bu mıntının anaya malgırar lan yana. Miyesin gittim. Ava, 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 ava.
We heard, not fully, but most of Tuva people imitating owls and wolves. A track was titled Imitation of the Roe Deer, the Musk Deer, the Reindeer Owl, Wolf's Howl, appeal to the patron of hunters before the bear hunt, Reindeer Herders Call to Reindeer. Ahead of that was my recordings from the Owl Prowl, the evening bird walk that was part of the 16th Berkshire Biodiversity Day at the Greylock Glen Outdoor Center in Adams, Massachusetts, organized by Berkshire Environmental Action Team. And that's it for my show today. You've been listening to Waveforms WGXC, Acra 90.7 FM, radio for open ears. Coming up next is From the Transmission Art Archive. Tune in for selections from Waveform Transmission Art Archive, a specialized online resource of artists' experiments with the electromagnetic spectrum in form of concept. So stay tuned for that. This week's selection is CWCH Collective Edition 3, Wormhole Variations. This program has been Bequency, Meet Bird People in the Hudson Valley, and I've been Mayuko. I'll be back on October